anticipation. That is what my wife and I have experienced for the last 3 months. And it seems to get reloaded with every new experience. It's like just when we feel like we've got what we anticipated, something else comes up. And so it's new anticipation and something else comes up. I've been anticipating our move here since the beginning of June. And so it's been just 2.5 months from the time we actually left Tacoma to move here. It seemed like forever. But my focus was on getting these bad boys loaded. We reduced all of our earthly possessions to 3 pods. And that was a feat, and it took a long time. We had garage sales, we had Facebook Marketplace. I sold my beloved 1983 Pace Aero recreational vehicle. And sometimes in anticipation, you can miss other things. So I missed something that struck me deeply. I needed to get a prescription refilled. And I kept calling, and I kept calling, and I kept calling, and I kept getting their voicemail. I would leave a message. The pharmacy said, we need to renew this prescription. And I said, call them. And so eventually I just stopped calling because I was busy in this. And I didn't call back, and I should have a day or two before we left. The reason why no one was answering the phone in my doctor's office is my doctor passed away. And hopefully I can tell you sometime of the narrow escape that I experienced in 2011 with my health. That man saved my life. And that I couldn't share in that or give consolation when it was needed. I mean, that's what happens when you're focused on something else. Sometimes other things are going on over here and you just miss good stuff. And I believe God's people sometimes can get caught up in that syndrome. We can be anticipating something, or we can, maybe we should know this, but we just let it pass by. We miss it when we should have known better, when we should have been prepared. And this, in a small way, sets up what happens in Acts chapter 2. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In this passage, there is a great beginning. A great beginning. The beginning of the church. And the Jewish Christians, they're waiting for this. This is what they were looking for. But when it happened, they didn't recognize it. And you must admit, it was kind of a, well, if you were here, how would you feel? When the day of Pentecost, I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now listen to this and see this. Then they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in different languages as the spirits gave them the ability to speak. Peter talks about there were Jews from every part of the Roman Empire. Verse 7, they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us can hear in our own native language?" So you have the sound from heaven, the tongues, all of these guys speaking, and they can hear it in different languages. So who knows what it sounded like? It could have been a miracle of hearing or a miracle of speaking, but whatever, what was going on here, you were hearing it different here. What else could this be? And that's in verse 12, says, they were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" Some sneered and said, "They're full of new wine." And I think that's a statement that really cuts to the heart of how people who are looking for something can miss it. What could this be? We have all of these questions maybe about what is going on. And oftentimes we come up with a physical realm answer. Oh, there's a logical explanation for this. It was the path of the sun, or they're drunk, as they said here. They looked at this and they should have said, "This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the coming of the Messiah. This is what we've studied in our Bibles. This is what our rabbis have talked about." And they give it a logical, human-based explanation. So Peter takes the opportunity to set things straight. "Men of Israel," verse 14, "but Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and proclaimed, 'Men of Judah and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you.'" And see the next phrase in there? "And pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. 'And it will be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon before the great and remarkable day the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So there's not a human logical explanation for this. This is what God said was going to happen. And when it happened, at first, they missed it. But Peter said, "All right, we'll go over this one more time. Now listen to what I say. Pay attention to what I say. Because what is happening here is there is a day of the Lord taking place. The day of the Lord..." And these things have happened throughout human history. You could say the exodus of God doing the 10 plagues before the Pharaoh of Egypt, that was a day of the Lord. That was a day God intervened in no uncertain terms in human history. God is alive and well today. And he is working out his plan in time and history. And sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't. But we should be looking for it. It's what we want. Even before we became Christians, it's what we needed. It's what we hoped for. It's what was missing in our lives. And I know when it was finally presented to me in truth, and in a way that I could grasp and it connected with what was going on in my life, I jumped into it with both feet. Because this is what I was looking for. This is it right here. I can see that there is a God, he is alive, and he's working things out in history. And that helps me when I get worried about things that pile up each day. And that's another thing for my wife and I, Lenita, in our anticipation. You know, now we're looking forward to a house, a home, a place to call home here in Prescott. And that could have been good if it would have happened yesterday. But, you know, we want it, and we can get lost in all the other things that are going on because we're anticipating that. The other option is to not allow distractions and anxiety and worry to rob your joy. When you find what you've been looking for, that creates deep joy inside of us. You found it. You ever lost something and found it? It's that kind of feeling. So God will work out his plan in history, and that should allow us to relax and focus on what's right in front of us. And it also means to accept God's dominion, his authority in my life. I was in charge. It wasn't working. Now he's in charge. And I accept his authority in my life. I will learn about him. I will trust the things I learn, and I will obey what I'm told. I will obey the will of God in every fiber of my body that I can direct to that effort. Because I know God is at work. God is in charge. As a matter of fact, the day of the Lord is a time to act. It's a time for you to take action. And we see this in this community and what follows in Acts chapter 2. We see an amazing group of people. Because when Peter helped them put two and two together, they said, this is what we've been looking for. And as we read on, we read, and we'll talk more about this in our Sunday morning sermons to go. So I'm wanting us to see that they responded. The day of the Lord for them was a time to act, and they were convicted about their sin. Peter said, "The one whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." And it says they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What do we do? What do we do?" And they became confident in the word that was given to them, in the word of God, and they obeyed. It says on that day, Peter, when they said, "What do we do?" Peter said two things: repent, change the direction of your life, that's your decision, and be baptized. That's the new start, the new beginning. You are immersed in Christ. You go through the death, burial, and resurrection in your own life. You experience that. You obey what the word tells you to do. So you can have all the confidence in the world in the word of God, but if you don't put it into action, you fill in the blank. They began to live a life of praise. it says. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, but life of praise means they were engaged in worship. And Steve, thank you for helping us to feel and to experience those songs and to sing out with passion and sincerity. That's what worship, that's true worship, that is true worship that the Father seeks out today. We know who we are. We know what we have. How can we be anything but full of praise, expressing our praise in passion and in sincerity? Having a positive reputation. This community of people developed a positive reputation. And whatever things maybe the rest of Jerusalem didn't know about them, they knew some things about them. And we'll get that. We'll get into more detail as we look more into Acts chapter 2. But these people became disciples of Christ. And it showed in how they lived their everyday life. They had a positive reputation. And the result was the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the day of the Lord for us is a time to act. A time to respond to the message. A time to live out the grace and the faith that has been poured into us. We need to learn to live in the day. We need to learn how to be a disciple of Christ and walk in that joy every day. The passage that Greg read, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. I loved it when I read it. I loved it in my study. I loved listening to Greg read it for us again. Because it is maybe sometimes where we are. So that's Isaiah 40 in verse 27. It starts out with a question. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord? Basically, they're saying there, Lord, why aren't you paying attention to us? I wonder if people on the day of Pentecost, if that was some of what they were thinking and saying before this all happened, is where is the voice of the Lord? Maybe when Jesus was crucified, they thought it was all over. Where is the voice of the Lord? When we get caught up in the things that we're anticipating and looking forward to, we may forget what is the way of the Lord. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God. No, that's not true. And Isaiah says, Do you not know? Have you not heard? So we should know this. We should know this. Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's where we are today. Sometimes, though we have found what we are looking for, we can lose track and we don't live in the joy of our faith. We can get caught up in the details that bog us down, and it's not that any of those details are not important. When I heard about Gordon, my heart just broke because he had such anticipation for good things to happen. And he's got to lay in a stinking bed in a hotel room and watch life go by. That's a distraction. And those things happen. But don't let it take you joy. Don't let it cause you to lose focus. Bottom line, Gordon and Glenn are good. And they're just going to have to weather the storm with joy. It's not always easy, but that's what he's telling us to do. Don't you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting. What's happening today is nothing. because God is active and at work among His people. Anticipate the return of Christ without forgetting your task of being a witness to His salvation. Sometimes we can say, that's taken care of. I'm saved. I'm good. I found the Lord and I have my salvation. And I want us to think in terms of, what about all those other people who are looking for what we have found? And I know they're out there. I had a discussion yesterday with one of our sisters here, and she said the same thing I said 40 years ago. I'm looking for something. And I looked here, I looked there, I looked here, I found it. This is what I've been looking for. There are people out there looking for that. Don't ever let the adversary deceive you and think it's over. We are post-Christian in our society. Maybe that's true. But there's a lot of people who know why they're on earth. They just don't know why they're on earth. If that makes any sense. They need us to share that message. And so, anticipate the return of Christ without forgetting your task as being a witness to salvation. And learn to soar. Get comfortable living in the heights, soaring on wings like eagles. Sometimes I wish it said that I actually would have wings and we could fly. But that's not what it's saying. It says our experience of faith is going to be like this if we trust and depend on God. That's what our experience is going to be like. And it's scary. How many of you have bungee jumped? All right, we have one. Were you scared?
Not really.
Not really. Well, I think that is an example where there's kind of a not really, no butterflies, no, nothing like
that.
A little bit. Those are the sorts of things that's what God will do. We can bungee jump, you know, for the cause. And it's scary to do that. It's scary to step out off that bridge and realize that there's just a little rubber band between you and certain doom. And that's how it feels in faith sometimes. It's just like there's nothing there, but it's faith. It's faith. I'm going to do this. Maybe I don't exactly see the end, but I know, what's the song say? I know whom I have believed in. And that's really all that matters. That's all that matters. I want to invite you to come fly with me. As a congregation, nothing is random. God doesn't do random. God has a purpose for us, an intent. And God has given Lenita and I encouragement to fulfill the vision of Acts chapter 2. That's why Acts chapter 2 is here, to help us to see what the first church did and to emulate that. That's where I'm going. And it seems scary. It seems intimidating. It seems like that means I might talk with some people and share my heart and soul with them, and they're going to tell me, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's going to mean that I'm going to share some of my resources with somebody, and they might take advantage of me. There may be a lot of things that keep us from fulfilling the mission. But I want us to focus on all the reasons why we should keep the mission. And that's what I'm all about. That's what we're all about as a team that God has put together. A lady in the Hood River Church called us the dynamic duo. Batman and Robin. Laurel and Hardy. Most of the time it's like Laurel and Hardy. But it's Dennis and Lenita. And we have a mission. And it's gonna take us to the heights. And I want you with me. I want us to work together, to fly together. Faithfulness to God is what we've been looking for. This morning I want to challenge you to commit your life or recommit your life and your time to Christ your Lord. You said Jesus is Lord. When you were baptized, you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's the Lord of my life. He gave His life for me. I want to give my life for Him. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you this morning to think about what needs to happen. Peter said to the people who knew what he was saying, they should have known, he said, pay attention. Take up the cause of a disciple. Study God's Word. Talk to someone who might know a little bit more than you do at this point. And commit your life being baptized in His name. If that's the call to you this morning, please come while we stand and sing, but let's stand together and encourage one another with this song.